Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, as you know, it looks like Hakeem Jeffries is holding up the big, beautiful bill House vote.
Yeah, that's a tactic, and that's their right to do so. So go ahead.
Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries, who can't figure out if he wants to condemn the government confiscation of New York property.
Yeah.
And the government takeover of means of production in New York, the financial capital of the world.
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be.
May not be much longer.
Like everything else, that'll just move here, Texas or Florida.
Yeah.
Anyway, on another subject, as we're waiting on this vote, looks like it's probably gonna pass. And look, they're planning. I mean, I hope this happens. Let me tell you what GDP. So that's economic growth to increase 5.2% in the short term, 3.5% in the long term. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it would be nice.
You know, I might be able to retire early. You know, I know you will. Yes. I'll miss you.
Yes, well, I'll miss you too. But you know, it'll be nice getting to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, because that'd change a lot of worlds out there if that could happen. Okay. Meanwhile. Headline, and this says it the best, this is the Daily Caller, the Biden administration basically trafficked migrant children. Shocking new report, as if this couldn't get any more shocking. Excuse me, cough button. On the widespread instances by the Biden administration of unaccompanied migrant children being placed with unvetted sponsors with criminal backgrounds during the Biden administration. That's according to a new Immigration and Customs Enforcement report that just came out this week. Children who had no parents. Now remember these kids, okay, at the border. We're talking, yes, some teenagers, definitely. But, I mean, some of them were like 3, 4, 5, 6. I will never forget this heartbreaking photo. It just absolutely wrenched my heart. It was a little girl. She was there at the border. She was 5 or 6. Her little brother looked 3 to 4, and she's got her arms wrapped around him. They are all alone. Mm. Just left there. Like human debris.
Yeah.
She looks so sweet. It reminded me of just the way my daughter puts her arms around her brother. She's really good. She's very mom-like. She's very momsy. She's going to make a great mom. Just the way she puts her arms around her brothers. It just reminded me of that, and it just gut-punched me. I don't know where she is today, but odds are not in her favor. Biden administration placed thousands of children with unvetted sponsors with criminal backgrounds. This is what we are finding, according to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, many of them we cannot find. We have found 6,000 out of 300,000 so far. Children who had no parents or legal guardians were handed over to, this is right out of the press release, unvetted sponsors. They suffered from sexual abuse, forced labor, and neglectful living conditions. The findings stem from a months-long investigation by the agency to ensure the children were safe, and they found they were not safe. Not at all. What is so scary is they can't find a lot of these kids. It's a dead end. They go to where they're supposed to be, Lee. It's a field.
Yeah.
In one case, it was a strip club. There weren't any kids there. One guy got, get this, 42 of them. He is a convicted criminal who was illegally in the country. 42 children. Where are they? And those kind of stories leave me hanging. Okay, he got 42. Do you know where he is? Do you know where they are? And they don't say. I just, like, I got to know. I got to know how the story ends. Anything with kids makes me crazy. So there's no words for this.
Yes.
We can't reopen this border. I don't care what that crazy judge orders. I don't care what some crazy circuit court judge orders. We've got to stop this. This is saving so many kids from being kidnapped from their parents, or they'll force buy them. There was a great article on this in the UK Guardian in 2014. They'll come through, put an AR to your head and tell you, you got 5 kids, I'm taking 2, or I'll kill the other 3, and off they go. That's how this works. That's where these kids come from. And in other cases, their parents are bad people too, and they sell them. And sometimes they'll offer you money. You don't have any choice but to sell them if you want the others to live. It's really, really bad, and our border creates that mess.
Yeah.
Trump can't reopen this border. That is just, I mean, a horrific sentence for so many of these kids, because these Democrat trafficking networks in partnership with the cartels, they'll start right up again.
Right. Yeah.
Now, listen to this. This is PJ Media's writing, but it was so powerful. They basically say this was not an accident. This is not because old Joe is senile. Quote, after dismantling the Trump-era safeguards, including DNA testing, rigorous sponsor screening, biometric checks, and criminal background checks, you don't dismantle all of that because Joe's senile. It's not an accident. It was already in place. The Biden team prioritized, they write, getting kids out of government custody as fast as possible, no matter who was waiting on the other side. That's terrible.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Yeah.
Wasn't an accident. Like you said, that was the plan.
In short, they write, the Biden administration was practically sex trafficking migrant children as a matter of policy.
I just have to say it because it just happened. What's the difference between that and P. Diddy?
I don't know. I truly don't know, because there is absolutely intent there.
And we're talking about children here.
And remember, and I will never forget this, the New York Times, back when it was only 89,000 children they couldn't find, did that whole piece to their credit, and it was pretty brutal. And the only response from the Biden administration was to end DNA testing at the border, which would have told us, hey, is that your pimp or is that your dad? It was the last hope those kids had. And they went, oh, okay, cool. Well, we'll destroy any evidence of our crimes and just go ahead and suspend the DNA testing at the border.
And this coming from the party that was wringing its hands because some children were located in holding cells separated from adults. You remember
Trump.
All that?
Yeah, the children in cages. And they were separated so that they could be DNA tested. Exactly. So we could figure, yeah.
And so that they would not be in an area where they could be abused, possibly.
Yeah.
During that detention.
We didn't know if we were locking you in a cell with your dad or the man who kidnapped you.
Yeah.
We had no idea. We had to figure it out. Well, the media left that part out.
Right.
You know, looking at this, right, this report that's just come out from ICE and how bad this is, they're still looking for these kids. I almost wonder if there wasn't an underlying motive for the Democrats to go wild on Trump because he put the kids in cages. In other words, what they were trying even then, they didn't want them DNA tested.
Of course, those were the holding cells that the Obama administration had set up.
Yes, which they used them too. They DNA tested too. They did the same thing.
During the Obama administration.
That they got to where they were trying to, because remember they wanted family units. They called them family units to be kept together and just let go over the border, which was ultimately the policy that Biden instituted. Oh, if you're a family, you can just go ahead and go. We don't know if you're a family.
Right, exactly. And children were used as pawns in that situation where they were just handed off so that you could get the free entry into the U.S.
And then they just dump them there at the border when they didn't need them anymore.
Like the example you talked about that poor little girl and her little brother.
Yeah, I'll never forget that picture. It's heartbreaking. I hope she's okay. I hope they're all okay. I know they're probably not. But, I've got my mind goes to some very dark places about this. And I just wonder, remember all the Ken Paxton clips that I play all the time?
Yeah.
That Biden has a deal somehow between Department of Homeland Security and the cartels. We used to stop these people at the border. Now we catch them and we make phone calls to cartels to hand them off. Remember that?
Yeah.
Here, I'll play it from Paxton.
He is cooperating, not just cooperating, but he's literally in partnership with these cartels. In the old days, they used to come and try to hide and run away from Border Patrol. Joe Biden's cut a deal somehow where these cartels transport people directly to the Border Patrol, and then they move them around the country. So we're in a terrible situation.
Okay, that's nothing the Attorney like General country. Of Texas, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So DHS talks to them, and then we meet them and pick up their illegals. Is the end product of this, and then when they show up to get their children that they trafficked, we hand them over, no questions asked, no background check? Is that the end of that smuggling line that's described there? And they moved a bunch of what Democrats would consider future voters into the country. There's no, maybe they look at it, there's no incentive for them to ask questions as long as the kids are moving to the country and they're in clearly cooperation with the cartels. Oh, there's a massive scandal here. And remember Catherine Herridge, God bless her. You could still find this on X. I played all the audio. I could do the next hour on this, where there were whistleblowers inside the Department of Homeland Security screaming because by law, you have to DNA test them. By law. and it was suspended, and they raised holy hell inside Department of Homeland Security under Joe Biden and were persecuted for it. And then they ended up turning whistleblower and doing interviews with Catherine Herridge about how they were deliberately not testing them so as not to create a record. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks pretty ugly the more you dig.
Yes.
So we can just pray for those kids. I hope they're okay. I hope that whatever has happened to them, that they can find peace. Because what the Democrat Party has done here, you're right, these are horrible crimes. And what really is the difference between them and Diddy? No, I'll tell you what the difference is. They had the ability to stop it. And they had the moral imperative to stop it. And they did the opposite. No, I don't see the difference. It's the same thing. A peer-reviewed study putting the death count from the shot at about 470,000. That's low compared to the VAERS estimate, which runs as high as 600,000. That's just America. And what they do with VAERS is they extrapolate the deaths actually reported from the COVID shot, 19,000. That's a massive number. It's a record, by the way. By a factor to account for underreporting, doctors are not required to report. It's voluntary. Individuals can report. Most people don't know it, though. 19,000, deaths were reported to VAERS. VAERS is the early warning system of the federal government created by Congress. The CDC runs it. And it's supposed to be an early warning system that a shot is dangerous. Because we'd had some, you know, faulty shots in the past, and that's why Congress created it over 30 years ago. Mainstream media, as soon as the COVID shot came along, started telling people to ignore it. Good reason for that. They're still ignoring it, and they shouldn't be. Given the reporting rate of almost 20,000 deaths from the COVID shot, which should be a major headline but isn't, the coefficient, the factor, is 31, is a factor, I should put it this way, of 31. That you normally would multiply it by. That gets you the 600,000. They do that every year, by the way, for the flu shot. On average, 20 people a year die of the flu shot. And so they'll multiply that by a factor of anywhere between 25 and like 32, just given there's a formula they use to estimate the underreporting. It's not perfect science, but it gives you an idea. That came out at 600,000, but nobody's talking about it. Meanwhile, Japan is warning about the shot. Multiple peer-reviewed studies coming out of Japan, a lot of them kind of disturbing. According to this, the shot is causing ER visits from people who suddenly have life-threatening gastric issues, basically versions of Crohn's disease that are serious enough that they're killing people. And then there was this. Denmark sounds the alarm as emergency room visits surge among COVID-vaccinated teens. Denmark issuing a warning about the long-term impact of mass COVID vaccination campaigns after recording a surge in hospital emergency room visits among teenagers who got the mRNA injections. Emergency room visits have spiked by 20% among the 12 to 18-year-old adolescent cohort who received mRNA vaccines. The alarming surge was revealed in a new study by a team of renowned Danish researchers led by Professor Selena Kickenborg-Berg of the University of Copenhagen. The results of the peer-reviewed study published in the journal Nature Human Behavior show multiple vaccine-induced problems among the 12 to 18-year-old cohort. We don't know what the long-term is because we didn't test this vaccine. It was a massive study, too, by the way, 105,726 vaccinated 12 to 18-year-olds. So not good long-term at all on this. Again, they have a significantly higher rate of emergency room visits for all kinds of side effects of the vaccine, which they're still having even years after having taken it. In the study, Holcher also warns that the vaccine mRNA and or resulting spike protein have now been found in portions of the brain, adrenal glands, heart, blood of injured and deceased humans. That alarming finding was first revealed in Florida's official health data, which is done by the Florida Department of Health and Surgeon General Joseph Latipo, whose study, again, shows the vaccine killed over 470,000 Americans. So at some point, we will admit this, and this will be common knowledge. But we're still blacking it out here. Other countries have gone a lot further than we have. So unfortunately, these vaccines are still available. They're not recommended anymore for children. Thank God Kennedy did that. But if a parent asks for them or a doctor suggests a parent should ask for them, child could still be vaccinated. So if your doctor brings this up, and you could have a well-meaning doctor, many of them are simply grossly misinformed about the dangers of this shot, the answer is a hard no. And hopefully someday, maybe by the end of this administration, we'll be able to get rid of this shot. I hope so. Like, the good news is that Kennedy and his FDA has demanded the trial data. And we just had, I think it was Moderna. No, it wasn't Pfizer, but I think it was Moderna had their shot, was ready to go, and they pulled it because he demanded basically the same set of data that any other vaccine would have to produce. And we're still operating, unfortunately, under the emergency authorization, so they don't have to provide safety data as they do for other people, for other shots. So mess there, let me tell you what. Okay. Meanwhile, lawyers are now claiming that Kilmar Abrigo Garcia, or St. Kilmar as we call him here, patron saint of wife beaters, was tortured at the El Salvador mega prison. He was allegedly beaten, starved, and psychologically tortured after being deported to El Salvador's Sicat prison in March, according to a new court complaint. Where are they going with this? They want to establish that nobody could go there because they might be hurt, and then they'll piggyback on that legal precedent that we can't send any illegal out of the country because he or she might be hurt. All right, folks, listen to this. Upon arrival, the suit claims Abrigo Garcia was chained, assaulted, and forced to kneel for 9 hours, later confined to windowless, overcrowded cells with no mattresses or sanitation. He lost 31 pounds in 2 weeks. Did you see the picture of him with Senator Van Hollen, you know, where they're sipping margaritas? Did he look like he was down 31 pounds? Because he looked pretty well fed to me. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I mean, he looked like he could have used to lose another 31 pounds. But what do I know? His lawyers claim he was frequently hidden from visitors, but allowed to be photographed and the photographs distributed to the world while he sipped margaritas with a senator? Folks, only liberal mainstream media consumers would believe any of this. This is ridiculous. Anyway, all I can say, he sure looked fine and plump to me in those pictures with the good senator. But what do I know? And look, if he'd been in really bad shape, you know, Chris Van Hollen would have screamed to high heaven. He didn't. He just wanted to take him home. But the problem with that is his home is El Salvador. He's an illegal immigrant. He belongs there, not here. Okay. Going into the 4th of July with America the least popular it's ever been with Democrats. A record low of 58% of U.S. adults say they're extremely or very proud to be American. That's 58%, right? But that's entirely the fault of the left. Republicans say they're proud to be American at a 92% rate, down only 1 point since 2001. It hasn't varied very much. Democrats is what's so shocking. And you've probably heard people talking about this. It's been kind of the rage all week. Just the shocking numbers, just 36% of Democrats say that they are proud to be American, which is wild since their patriotism around the year 2000 was about the same level as ours. It's a little below, but about the same level as ours. So this is Democrats, so I think just don't like America. This is interesting. Now, January 2001, Gallup first asked Americans how proud they were. 87% overall said they were extremely or very proud. Today, it's 58%. Unbelievable. Democrats are mostly responsible for the drop in U.S. pride this year, with, again, just 36% saying they're extremely or very proud, down from 62% a year ago. So a lot of this is about Trump. But here's what's really interesting about this. If you want to know why Mehran Mamdani won that Democrat primary, I got to tell you, the CNN pollster guy is a liberal, but he has some really good insights. And he explained it. And when he lays it out here, you'll notice something. The love of America number for Democrats right now is at 36%. Meaning, if you put these two polls side by side, Democrats love Palestinians more than they love America. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. And that's how this Mehran Mamdani was able to win. Here he is explaining this. This is profound. Because there's been a massive shift among Democrats. It's only been the last few years. This is Democrat love for Israel versus the Palestinians.
The politics have changed around this issue among Democrats. What are we talking about here? All right, who Democrats sympathize more with, Israelis or Palestinians? In 2017, the Democratic Party was a pro-Israeli party. Look at this. They sympathized with the Israelis by 13 points, more with the Israelis than the Palestinians. But look at this sea change. Now Democrats sympathize more with the Palestinians by 43 points. Oh, my God, that is a change in the margin of 56 points over the course of just 8 years. So all of a sudden, it's the pro-Palestinian position that actually reigns supreme in Democratic politics, not the Israeli position. And that is part of the reason why Mamdani was able to do so well in this primary, because those attacks over Israel, simply put, did not ring true for Democrats. They are now on the side of the Palestinians.
That's remarkable. I mean, we're talking about the Gazans, i.e. the Palestinians, flew in on hang gliders, butchered young adults and teens at a concert. It's not like they flew into a military base and had a fair fight man-to-man, right? Flew over and butchered families. And somehow the bloodlust of that inspired Democrats? That's really, really weird. And their position is basically, you know, Israel shouldn't respond at all. By the way, they flew over from Gaza. The reason that they were in Gaza, the Gazans, the Palestinians, whatever you want to call them, the reason they were there was because Israel gave it to them. Along with all the infrastructure, the homes, all of it, just gave it to them so they would have a homeland. That was a mistake. They were repaid by mass slaughter. But when you look at the shift there, Democrats love Palestinians over Israelis by a 43-point margin. Folks, Palestinians think Hamas are more popular with Democrats than their own country is. He's right. This is why Mamdani was able to win that Democrat primary. They love Palestinians and they hate America. When you look at this chart, this is fascinating. This is from the Gallup polling. Okay, so go back to the year 2001. You can see where the sickness in this country really began. What percentage were extremely proud or very proud to be American? Okay, Republican, 90. Democrat, 87. And Independent, 84. Well, so what is it today? In 2001, it was 90% Republicans proud. Today, it's 92. Not much difference. Not much different. And folks, even during like the Biden years with Republicans, it only hit an 85. I mean, that's as low as it now it went down to 84. It hit a low of 84, as much as people didn't like Biden. Now look at the Democrats. 87% in the year 2001 said they were proud or extremely proud to be American. And folks, it has just been a straight shot down. For the most part. I mean, it did matter during Obama. You know, Trump years, he's just continued down and down and down until finally we're at 36%. Again, more Democrats telling pollsters they like Palestinians than Democrats telling pollsters they're proud to be American. And that's exactly the hole that man commie drove his truck through. What this shows us, this guy appeals to them because he is not an American and they don't like America. This is now, folks, not being American, being an immigrant is now a boost in a Democrat primary. You throw in some Israel hatred, some Jewish hatred, some pro-Palestinian talking points, and a little bit of communism, and man, you are in. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Tara, thank you for everything you do. Have you heard any news on the man who shot that congresswoman and husband and tried to kill the senator? It's been buried. No one has reported. Are you talking about you're talking about Minnesota? I'm glad you brought that up. I was actually going to address that, and I forgot. Some of you have kind of dinged me for that because I never mentioned it. And the crazy guy, the one who the mainstream media said he was a Trump supporter, had a list of Democrats he was going to kill, and I didn't say a word about it. Didn't even mention his name. Because with these, I wait. Because there's always a punchline. When the media is telling you, oh, this is a MAGA guy, this is a Trump guy, and he's out there killing because Trump wants him to, I just keep my mouth shut because I'm waiting for the punchline. And you know it's coming as soon as the media cold drops the story. And they did. And then it turns out he's told police that the government made him do it, trained him to do it, and that Tim Walz wanted him to kill Senator Amy Klobuchar so that he could take her place and become a senator. That doesn't sound very MAGA, does it? Sounds insane. It's not Trump telling him to do something or Trump telegraphing violence. This is a guy who's not only cray-cray, but obviously pro-Democrat with whatever shred of sanity he's got left. And they dropped it. The guy's gone. Not talking about it anymore. I told you. That's why I didn't mention it. Totally blacked that one out. Why not? Mainstream media can do it. Because I knew I wasn't going to tell you. But what was I going to say? I wasn't going to tell you what the media was saying. Because I knew it was fake. I knew it was fake. And I was right. Texter writes, Tara, so it is safe to say that the left is now my enemy. Well, it's been that way for a while. Well, the father of that five-year-old who fell overboard from a Disney cruise ship off the coast of Florida did not lift her up onto the railing before the accidents, authorities have said. A lot of onlookers claim they saw him do that, and that's why she fell off. It was not the case. The little girl was not being held, as erroneously reported by some on social media. The Broward County Sheriff's Office told CBS News Miami, referring to speculation the child's father had lifted her up for a photo before she fell backwards and smacked into the ocean. Now, given the height of the rail there, it's higher than the height of a child. It's about the height of a man. I still have questions. They still haven't said exactly how she fell in, so that's got to be some kind of parental neglect. I mean, just don't see how you fall, but after she fell in, her father jumped into the ocean to save her, tread of water for more than 10 minutes until a rescue boat approached them. Cell phone video from the incident shows. A fellow passenger came to the dad's defense amid the speculation, insisting that a crew member told her that the little girl scaled the protective barriers. Girl said she was, the crew member who said that she was on the fourth floor. She was climbing up and the parents were playing shuffleboard and the dad jumped in after her. Well, we're glad that they're both safe. Texture writes, Tara, happy 4th of July. Enjoy your time with the family. Have you done a post on RFK's testimony about wearables and that we will all be wearing them in 4 years? God bless you and your family. Yeah, no, I mean, that was in my stack. I never got to it. I wasn't that alarmed by it. I actually looked it up when a lot of you said, oh, RFK wants us to wear a chip. And I was like, oh, no, what? But no, I mean, we're, you know, just talking about like Fitbit style, you know, he was saying like, but not the government's going to make you wear them, but you should wear them because they monitor your glucose. You can see those blood sugar spikes. You can tell how many, you know, feet you've walked. They're just really good for that. That's all he was saying. And he wasn't saying you're going to have to wear them or the government's going to distribute them. He said, you know, if you can, go buy one, which you can do today. Texture rates. Tara, why should I love Israel or Gaza? I'm not saying you should. It's just interesting that the Democrats have a dramatically higher love for the Palestinians than they do for America. And it's not even close. It's by more than 10 points in the polling this week. That's all. I just thought that was interesting. Texture writes, there's a direct correlation between Democrats and godlessness. America was founded on God and freedom, I'll say. Texture writes, so with the Trump administration, if you disagree with the aggression from Israel, you're not an American and called a Democrat. Trump's never said that. Look, there's a lot of tension between him and Netanyahu before the Iran situation. I think they just happen to be on the same side of that. But no, I don't see that at all. That's not the message I get from the Trump administration. Texter writes, Tara, take the family rafting on the Chattooga River. It's less than 1.5 hours away. Any of the three outfitters there are great. All right, I'll check it out. I haven't done that yet. Texture rates. So now beating your wife is going to be treated as an internationally protected human right. Well, not if you're a member of the patriarchy. You cannot beat your wife. No. Only if you're protected class. So like St. Kilmar, patron saint of wife beaters. Everywhere. Texture writes, want to watch that COVID shot go away? Dictate it for the Postal Service and Congress. Biden had them exempted. Oh, yeah, that'd work. Texture writes, I love this. I might retweet it. It's an absolutely brutal time to be even remotely intelligent. Yes, it is. Just driving through traffic the other day with my 15-year-old. Who's got his learner's permit. And boy, I'll tell you what, that makes you appreciate life. Because, you know, when you get in that car with that kid, you may or may not come back. So you just treasure every moment that you have. No, seriously. I'm teaching two teenagers to drive right now, so it's nuts. But he said out loud, he said, when we were driving, I meant to tell my husband this. He said, and he's just absolutely flustered. And he said, Mom, I never realized how dumb people are. And I'm like, yes, son, they are really, really dumb. And then he asked me, because he's seeing them do these things. And we got cut off by this driver. It was crazy. And he's like, can you do that? That doesn't look right. I'm like, no, it's not right. He just almost killed us. This is South Carolina. And he says to me, oh, Mom, have they always been this dumb? I mean, it was genuinely, but you know, because this is a kid who's a straight A student. He's in advanced classes. He's generally around smart, like intelligent people or, you know, somewhat intelligent people most of the time. He's never seen anything like this till he went into traffic. And he's like, these people are dumb. And I'm like, I know. And we have to live with them. You have to watch for them. This is what I keep telling you. And he said, Mom, have they always been this dumb? And I started thinking about it. And I'm like, no, I think it's getting worse. I really do. I think society is not as smart as it was, even 5 or 10 years ago. Don't ask me to put my finger on why or how I know that. It just feels that way. But it was a real eye-opener for him. He said, how could people do dumb things? I'm like, they just do, son. You got to have peace over it. And watch out for them if they're behind the wheel. Texture H, wearables, like any tech, is absolutely abusable in the future unless there's a stipulation in the law regarding its abuse. Oh, I agree. And we should keep an eye on that as with all tech. But I'm a big addict, you know, when I'm on that treadmill of like, I like to put my hands on the grip so I can measure everything, heart rate, make sure I'm in the zone of like burning fat instead of muscle. So no, I don't mind that stuff. And if the government wants my, you know, average heartbeat per mile, they can have it. I don't care. Texter writes, people will immediately jump on someone else just to make themselves feel better, like an accident would never happen to them. They are much too good of people for that. Yeah. Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Be safe, especially around fireworks, and we'll all meet back here around a campfire on Monday.